I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
What's it like to love your dentist? Well, you're about to find out, where healthy smiles go beyond your teeth. No drilling, no needles, and no anxiety. Relax, it's Omaha Laser Dentistry. Welcome to better. At Omaha Laser Dentistry, Dr. Bullenparty uses the Soleya laser, a CO2 laser that's used in all of his day-to-day patient care. He provides thorough exams, assessments, and treatments for things like snoring, tethered tissue, and extractions like wisdom teeth, as well as other surgeries. Check them out today at omahalaserdentistry.com. Discounts may be available for F3 Omaha members.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. Oh, man, I love seeing this guy smile. Also love running with this guy, but he runs a lot, and I hope we get to talk to him about that. But phenomenal leader and recent PsyQ at Halfway House. We got our man Bouncer on the cast today. And Bouncer, you look good. You got the headphones rocking. And why don't you just tell us how it all started? Who EH'd you? What was the first workout like? And then how did you get the name Bouncer? I don't think I've ever heard that story.
It's a unique story. So thank you. Thank you guys for having me here. I've listened to quite a few of the episodes. I haven't made it through everybody yet. But I really enjoy listening to the episodes. I encourage it in the gloom for any new guys to listen as well. I feel like you can really get to know somebody by listening to this podcast. And even if you don't typically work out in other sectors, it's a good way to get to know people. And you feel like you know them the first time you see them, even if you haven't seen them for a year.
Wow, so that's awesome.
It's pretty nice. My name is Bouncer. I started coming out to the berm. Coming up in September 15th will be my 2 year. I was EH'd by Nailed It. He is the current PsyQ at the Catalyst right now. I kind of worked with him for a few years at my last career when I managed a lumber yard, and he was a contractor there. Owned his own business, and he would always push me, not just through work, but on the side of just, hey man, you got to come out to this. I always thought I was in pretty decent shape, but I was missing a lot of good men in my life. And he's definitely a good man. I think a good man of faith. He pushes you to become a better husband, better leader. And so I'm thankful for him for bringing me out. Like I said, my first post was at the berm. If I recall, I had Motorboat on the queue, and it was his VQ.
Oh, nice.
Motorboat recently just passed the flag at the Helix, and that dude is a great, great him. He's definitely a great listener. And so when I was asked to go out into the middle at the end, I mean, I kind of knew it was an outdoor workout group. You're doing stuff outside, some burpees, different types of things, exercises. And they called me into the middle, and Motorboat, he kind of just asked, hey, tell us about yourself, any tattoos, anything weird, or who brought you out? And I didn't know what to say. I feel like I'm an open book, but the first couple times I meet people, I'm not, the most talkative. I was definitely there for the first F at first, and now I can tell you the second and third Fs are more important to me than the first. I told him I had four boys. I'm always running around, juggling back and forth, life activities, sports, work. Probably worked too much in my last job, and I just feel like I was just bouncing everywhere. And I said bounce probably two or three times, and the word bounce came out of my mouth multiple times. And somebody said bouncer, bouncer. And I can't remember who said that, but they just, it stuck. And I like it. I think it's fun. I do tell people that it's not because I ever was a bouncer. I'm not 240 pounds and look like I, you know, hold the fort down and keep people out. But there are some hammers in F3 that are, you know, that look like they could have been one, but I'm definitely not that guy.
Yeah. What, you know, it sounded like you were being EH for a little bit of time there, but I mean, what was it that kind of got you to commit and said, okay, I'll show up, I'll be there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I lived in Omaha for about 9 years before, and I didn't have really a lot of friends, especially any male friendships at all. And so with the just a few trusted individuals at my last job, I'm like, man, I need to be around good guys. And so the first workout, everybody was there to encourage people. The word picking up the six was there. You're never going to leave a man behind. And it definitely made me committed, because I already had the fitness part that I wanted to get better at. But having good guys to be around, honestly, it just kind of stuck right away. I mean, I kind of like that, and I just didn't know I was missing something like that. I'd never paid to go to a gym, you know, for 7-8 years, and I was doing odd stuff in the basement, just like, you know, burpees and pull-ups on the I-beams, and I'd do cinder block workouts. So I truly think I was hooked after the first workout, because we did a few sled up and downs, and I was hooked right away just because I knew I was around good dudes.
Heck yeah. What, I guess I sort of caught a little bit in there that where are you from originally? I guess because you have lived in Omaha for about 9 years.
Yeah. It's going on probably 11 now. Coming up with my 2 years almost in F3. I grew up over by on a farm, small farm town called Prague, Nebraska. It's just west of Wahoo, about 15 or 20 minutes. I grew up on a farm, and we had some cattle and livestock and small 8-man football, you know, 11
how
people.
Many, how many kids did you graduate with?
11. Oh, no. Cool. Yeah, it was nine girls, two guys. There were three of us. My best friend was killed in a car accident in our senior year, 2 days after Christmas. So all 12 of us were together for almost 13 years. So it was pretty cool.
Wow, man.
Well, with 8-man football, you must have had some girls on the team too.
we could have used them. There were practices where we literally would have just the right side versus the, you know, four on four. The coach would literally play quarterback or wide receiver at times, just to throw you out there just for practice. But during the game, we'd suit up about 15 to 16 people.
Yeah.
Jeez.
What, you know, as you think on this kind of first F piece, talk us through that, like, you know, sort of your fitness journey, and how did you get to kind of this point where you're doing the, like you said, kind of like the random workouts in your basement. And then, would love to hear how that, like, F3 maybe transformed that. Cause now you're just like, I don't know, when I think bouncer, I think like, what time did he start running this morning? You know, and it's probably like 4 a.m. or 3:30 or earlier. Like, you're just crushing it. So talk us through that sort of journey.
Well, I always was kind of into fitness, powerlifting in high school and college and stuff. When I kind of got out of college, I probably put on more than a freshman 15, but outside of college, I probably put on 30, 40 pounds. And I still was active, but I just didn't really watch what I ate. And I can tell you that I've just always tried to be a health conscious person, because I think my first F, truly, it goes back to my dad. My dad had a quadruple bypass heart surgery when he was 47. He's 63 now. Mm-hmm. And so going back to basically high school, I saw what I thought was a really healthy, active farm guy who was in shape. And then all of a sudden, you know, just has a quadruple bypass heart surgery. He kicked a couple bad habits. I watched him go through, alcohol abuse pretty bad. I'm very thankful and blessed to be able to say he's been sober for almost 15 years now. Clean. Really proud of him. So I think that it started back when my first son was born. I saw my dad go through that and I said, man, right after college, I might have gained a couple pounds and got out of the shape that I wanted to be in, but it was quick to get back into that. And I don't want to say it resulted from my dad having to be, you know, go through some really hard times. But when you see your dad go through that, and then now he just recently, 3 years ago, I've shared with you, my dad in some pre-runs, I've talked to you about, my dad's had a stroke. He's had two strokes now. Mm-hmm. And, now my dad can't drive. And now it's like, shoot, during F3, it's like, I don't want to say I run for him, but it sure makes me want to run a lot more for him or, you know, run for people that, especially it's my dad, you know, so, he can't really walk the greatest and, it's been pretty tough. You know, my dad's a pretty good man of faith. He's always supported me in, my health journeys and just eating healthy and, being a good dad, being a good husband. He gives great advice to that. And I honestly think that, I know I'm rambling. Sometimes I do that. So, there's a lot of motivation there just to take off and excel. And, with that, I didn't know I was a runner or really big into running until F3. I just thought I was just a guy who liked to work out and I didn't want to pay for a gym. So I just used cheap weights in the basement and cinder blocks and just like CrossFit type stuff in the basement. I don't know. It's just kind of started there, but yeah. F3's kind of changed the journey.
Talk us through the progression. So you showed up to the berm, right? You get this really cool name Bouncer, and then did you go somewhere Friday or did you like, were you all in from that first day or what was sort of your progression with the F3 workouts?
I know I went to the combine the next day.
Nice.
And, that was fun. That was fun. That was a lot of energy at the time. I believe, who was the site queue at the time? I think it might've been LPC.
Yeah.
Might've been the site queue at the time. And I'm like, man, but then I had to work during the weekend and I'm like, shoot, I can't go 3 days in a row. And so my next day, my third day was a Murph and it was Monday at Red Wings and, Nail That brought me out and I met a lot of other hammers and that really kicked my butt. It was fun. I went to the Smurf actually, cause I had to go to work at like 7. So, and take the kids to school and all that. So, that kicked my butt, but then I just kind of kept going from there. Just usually 3 to 4 days a week, probably, but I'd say a month in, I was probably going 5-6 times a week. And I'd go as early as I had to get a workout in. Cause I knew I'd run into somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I know like people have, it kind of ebbs and flows for different people, like how consistently they're posting, you know, 5 days a week, 3, 4, whatever you're dipping into. Have you been able to stay pretty consistent at 4 to 5 days a week?
Sorry, what was that?
I said, you know, there's some ebbs and flows with some guys on how often they can get to post, right? Whether that's 3 days, 2 days, 5 days a week. Are you staying pretty consistent at 5 days a week?
So I recently switched careers, and on February of this year, I left my last career at Menards of 15 years being the lumber warehouse manager. And so I was getting up and I was able to schedule my F3 around that. And it worked pretty well with my wife's schedule and everything. But I'll be honest, the last 5 months, it's the best career change I could have ever done for my family as far as being a better husband and a dad, more family time, more weekends. But I can tell you that I have missed the beat downs because I have to start usually at 6. So a lot of the times it's just weekends now, and which worked great for the halfway house and it worked for Saturdays. But if it wasn't a Smurf or, you know, a pre-run, it's, I'll be honest, it's mentally probably been pretty tough, just because I, during the beatdowns, that's where I get a lot of the fellowship and sticking around. So I've missed that the last couple months. And I know I took the career change for the my family, but F3 is usually still 3 to 5 days a week. It's just I'm missing out on the beatdown part. So it's kind of it's I'd say it's honestly it's I've reached out to a couple guys and it's mentally hard to miss that.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that a little bit, because I think there's definitely a connection, right, between that like the first F and sort of like mental battle. I'm curious, like your thoughts on that. How are you processing that or working through that?
I've been pretty, been a pretty big, faith-based guy with my faith with Jesus. And, this new job has allowed me to get back to church more. It's been able to, mentally I've been able to go towards, Christ more, and focus on the things that I really need to be focused on, which is my family and my wife and, you know, Christ. However, I think that while we're here, we should have a lot of, you know, I feel that God would want us to be around great humans, great people, great friends, and not having that, I feel like I've almost taken a step back, because a lot of my, I look in my phone and I have 60, 70, 80 numbers, and it's like, I could reach out at any moment, but when you don't see everybody regularly, I've been really diving into the word more. And mentally though, it's hard, you know, cause you feel like, you know, you're missing some of those elements, and you need to be present to actually feel it too. You know, you could talk to somebody via text all the time, but it's, you gotta be present to really see it, I think.
Yeah, I love that. I was just curious your thoughts. I know I've gone through similar things, right? As I started in F3, I was posting 6 days a week, as once we had six sites, and then my wife was quickly like, you got to pull back. And it was sort of like, well, wait a minute. And it ultimately it was like FOMO, right? But then it does have an impact on the relationships at some point. And I think,
well, I think you and I, Blake, had conversations about this seems unfair that your M was saying that, because this is something that you view as good for you, right?
Right. Yep.
And
yep.
So that's right. An unfair opinion that she's having, but then you've got to reconcile, well, you know, family is a very important aspect. Bouncer, it sounds like that's where you're putting a lot of your focus now. And I don't think anyone would discredit you for ever doing that. And, you know, the times you can post, you are, right? And F3 is still going to be there regardless of how often you're there. I mean, when I passed off the flag on the PsyQ, I took a hiatus for a couple months. And I mean, it's just how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bouncer, I think the other piece, and we'll definitely get more into the second and third F, but kind of on this first F piece, I am curious, like, talk us through some of your achievements, right? Because if you came in as not a runner, I think you've ran a half and a full and a, I don't, you know, I think, I feel like now you're doing a pre-run and then a Murph and a, and, you know, but talk us through some of your achievements on that first F. What do you remember as you look back?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just started with, a lot of the guys out West. I could list a whole handful of names, that just started to be like, man, you're really going to get the second and third Fs by pre-running. So I started to pre-run, started to feel better about pre-running. 3, 4 miles, 5 miles. And, I vividly remember one day that I'll never forget. And it was at the Helix, truly was the site queue. And we were running the world famous 5 mile, and we're about a mile and a half in. And, I don't know, we were probably doing like an 8 minute mile. And I just looked over at Truly and I think Pantyhose and a few others. And I just said, hey guys, I gotta go. And it wasn't go anywhere. I just wanted to go. And I completely took off, ran like 3.5 miles, like at a dead sprint. And I was probably a couple months into my F3 journey and I just never felt better. I just like, I've never pushed myself and I just said, I got to go. And like, dude, go for it. He's like, you got to do what you got to do. And I didn't want to leave them, but I'm like, man, I just wanted to take off and just experience like a runner's high or whatever that might have been, because I didn't know what it was. And honestly, I think I was hooked from then. And that was, I started to try to get faster and run as quick as I could. But I've noticed that the importance of F3 now is I really just want to be there for anybody. So there's days where you can be fast, and then there's days where you can do anything at any pace. I've always asked everybody to what pace do they want to go? Cause I feel like, yeah, I feel like I have had a journey of, I run halves a couple times a month, and me and backcountry, we ran a full marathon last October at the halfway house at Lake Cunningham. I'm training right now for a 50K, but I feel like I'm pretty competitive. So I actually don't want to slow down and pace myself, and that's the problem. And so I feel like I can run this 50K pretty fast, and I'm not going to listen probably to anybody's advice on that. But
did I just see you had a mile PR like sub 6 or something? Was that?
It was 5:51. Okay, yeah,
wow. That's crazy. That's awesome. So from a fitness perspective, you feel pretty good these days?
A little bit. Yeah. I feel like I could always try to do better. But I'm just excited to be here and excited to talk. And sometimes I ramble, like I said, but yeah. I think F3 brings out the best of me. If you can't tell, I've been smiling this whole time. So
yeah,
I'm excited to meet new guys in the gloom and meet good men at any AO. So
yeah. Well, so before you joined F3, it sounds like you were doing a lot of things similar, right? Plyometric, burpees, you know, using cinder blocks, just like we do at some of the heavy lifts. So you come in, I mean, I think you've kind of hinted toward it, but I mean, what was it that was different about this workout that kept you coming back?
It was in the morning. It always fit my routine. I feel like the best thing a man can do is wake up and have purpose. Mm-hmm. And the purpose that we all share, I think every single person that gets up in the morning, if they can get in their car and actually go to a site, they are achieving greatness by getting up every day and taking their health, you know, one step further than just to better themselves, to maybe preserve their life. I think life is really precious. And I think that the thing that stood out to me was this was a group where we were never going to let anybody fail. And, you know, it's about picking up the six, but you're accomplishing all these workouts together. And I feel like if I don't want to discredit gyms or discredit any of that stuff, but typically people are in there with a trainer, which is great. Maybe they need that, but then typically, you know, they're in there alone if they're not with the trainer, or they're just not really focused on the first F when they say they are. And I think that we literally have 45 minutes. We have 45 minutes to explore whoever's on cue at the day and whatever workouts they want to do. And we're all going to do that workout together. So we're all equal. We're all trying to push ourselves to be the best version of ourselves. If you want to drop down and do 20 Merkins, you know, but great. If, you know, somebody can do 50, that's even better, but we're all going to finish and we're going to move on to the next station together. And I think that's just what life should be. Like, you should never leave somebody behind. And I was missing that, that element of, camaraderie. I mean, it's just really like a brotherhood that, I never had any brothers growing up, but I sure feel like I have hundreds of brothers now.
What, you know, when you think about that and those relationships, So you knew nailed it, right? Coming into the group, I guess we'd be curious. Were there other guys when you showed up that you knew, or how did you go about building relationships once you sort of got into the rhythm of going to the workouts?
I kind of, probably the first couple, posts, I was probably a little just, observing, you know, and just seeing how everybody, but it was within minutes though, of the first couple workouts where everybody was just, whether high fiving, hugging, and I can be like, man, I want to be loved. I want to be appreciated, yeah. but I feel like I have so much to offer too, whether it's just, support or, guidance. I'm not a counselor. Like we say, every workout, we're not professional, modify as needed, but I'm not a counselor, but I can sure listen. I can try to give the best advice I can. There's so many different beliefs and, ways, to think with everybody in F3, but you're not going to be judged. And mm-hmm. I think that, I've met so many guys just by listening at first. And, a lot of the time, I try not to take over the conversation just because I feel like I learn, and all of a sudden then you just start talking and you just pick up on, I have a key. I feel like I have a niche about myself where I pick out the guys who don't talk a lot and I will usually do the beat down with them. Just because I want to get to know them, and it probably pushes them outside of their social comfort zone, but, they might be in better shape, but I will be with them the whole time in the beat down just because I just want to get to know somebody. So I don't think we can ever get to know too many guys in F3.
Yeah, well said. Well, again, before you joined, you lived here 9 years. You didn't have a lot of friends. Do you feel like you've been able to make some lifelong friends here?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like you know, whether it's getting together with guys, I have ran into some, guys at church that, we started to attend another church, recently. And I feel like whether it's a Bible study, or it could be maybe a men's, small group, it could be anything like that, coffee after. I know, this was earlier. I look forward to like tomorrow. I'm going to go to, the Crown tomorrow. I haven't been down there, and, I look forward to having coffee after and seeing some of the Sarpy guys and seeing them. I haven't seen them for a while. And, you know, I think I just look forward to a little bit of everything.
Heck yeah. Hey, when you're down there tomorrow, make sure, tell them Halfway House is out at my place on the 25th of this month.
I'll do that. I'll do that.
Something I wanted you to touch on, though, Bouncer, is the fellowship on a long run. I don't know that we've had a guy really go into that, but what do you think it is about those, those like half marathon or even a full marathon that just takes it to another level?
Yeah, definitely. The longer you literally are with somebody, that's just common. That's just a common thing right there. The longer you're with somebody, the more you're going to get to know. And, I can tell you that it makes you vulnerable. When you train with somebody or when you're 3:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning with somebody, the fellowship you can get with somebody is, very, very special. And I thought, that's like what the Halfway House brought to the table a lot was it gives everybody an opportunity, walking, rucking, running 5Ks all the way to marathons. You literally get a really big second F opportunity because, you know, it allows you just to be very open, learn, have insightful conversations with guys that, you don't know what anybody's going through. And I've had my fair share of those where I might be looking for advice. And I am just talking away. And, I think it just, the longer the opportunity you have, the more vulnerable you get, because the runs might even get harder too. So just like, man, this sucks. And then I go back to the conversation with what you're having with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always think of the, I think you and I together on a run, right? A little bit of a dangerous combo, because we're both talking the whole time. But I think what's funny to me is sometimes you get on this topic and you start running faster, and then, or like you're just, and for me, like I hate running by myself now. Like I used to love that, but now, it's just so much better running with somebody and listening or talking or getting to just share those moments. So I love that. I would be curious, as you think about, some of the relationships, have you gotten to the point where you've been able to develop like a more formal shield lock or anything along those lines?
I think that, cataracts, I kind of just took an overall great presence when I was around him. I mean, he's very knowledgeable. He had a lot of great insight to me as far as how to, just become better through my life. And I look up to him, and I think that some of those pre-runs started with him and just sharing his life with me. And then you start talking about how vulnerable you can be with somebody. I mean, you can talk about your house to your marriage to your kids to, if you got done yelling at your kids for something, I would get tore up all the time when I would run. Sometimes I swear a lot. So that's my big thing. And I'm sure a lot of guys have heard me say, you can get pretty vulnerable. Like, I just wish I was better here with my life. And I would say, mentally if you have something that's really daunting on your head, and in your mind, share that with somebody. And I've had a lot of those conversations, especially with backcountry on our, marathon journey and training for that. I've had a lot with you. I feel like I can list off so many names. I've had some really long runs with Farva. And he's been great to bounce things off of. He's a hammer, obviously, too, when it comes to his running and his, meat grinders and all of his work ethic. But, those are just some names, and they've just been really motivating to me and helpful to me. I remember there's a moment. I think we're on mile 21 of our marathon quest, and I was talking to backcountry about, you're getting up there in miles, and so you're kind of vulnerable. We were talking about, life, and you talk about finances, and then you start diving into, what you can do, what you plan on doing with the rest of your life, and, where life's going to take you. You just have so many conversations with guys in the gloom, but that one was another good one on the marathon journey.
Heck yeah.
Nice.
I love the number of opportunities or doors that you've sort of opened up by just sharing what's on your heart and what's on your mind and what you're going through. And, I think, not every guy is built that way, but I love the advice you shared of like, if something's on your mind or weighing on you, or even just an idea, right? Find somebody, share it, get it out there, and sort of start massaging that, right? And sort of working through that with somebody else. I think about, my faith in scripture, right? Talking about wise counsel, and what better place to find that than in this group of guys that are all trying to accelerate. So I love that. I'm curious, we think about you're sitting here with your son's headphones on, right? And we like to talk about kind of in this second F vein, like relationships, your Concentrica. Curious if how those relationships have maybe been impacted with your M and your 2.0s, and we also like to always get to know if you've been able to bring your 2.0s to any workouts.
Yeah. So I was able to bring my oldest out to a beat down at Top Rope. He's 14. He's going to be 15 in September. His name's Splash, F3 Splash.
That's a good name.
Tater. Yeah, he likes fishing. He likes fishing. And Tater Tot named him.
Okay.
So he's been out to a couple beatdowns. I've shared it with, you know, my kids love watching Namorama. And my little kids, just like those two specifically love going around. And they love seeing call signs, and they love the whole thing.
Nice.
And I think that at 5 and 3, I might consider bringing him out. Maybe he's starting kindergarten here soon. Maybe to a weekend workout. It's been a little while since Splash has been out. My other 14-year-old does not get up at all. The one gets up at 5 or 6 in the morning. The other one would sleep till noon. Mm-hmm. If he could. My wife knows that it brings great joy to me to be around motivating, positive men that are going to shine a positive light onto my life. I've talked to her about like Fia before. I know Fia is starting with some, and she definitely, she's been on a journey for many years herself, and she's been active with her own workouts though. And she pushes herself, and honestly, to kind of go back to the beginning, my dad, you know, I try to do some of those workouts for him, but honestly, my wife is very motivating. She encourages me to become better every day. I mean, she can bust out a load of laundry, and then she goes down and she can start a workout, and kids are running around, and she'll do workouts in the living room. And it's just like, how can you deal with the craziness of life going around you? It's like, I get the blessing atmosphere of going to the Gloom and working out with guys, and I don't have any kids around. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have, she's doing workouts with people screaming and running around the house. It's kind of fun, but for her, I don't know how she does it. So,
well, the guys at the workouts are kids too. They're just in grown men bodies.
right. Yeah, for sure.
That's funny. What about just in terms of the relationship at home? Have you noticed the, like, being around the guys and maybe getting to work on yourself? Has that had an impact on family life for you? I think it has, right? Because you mentioned sort of this career change that sounds like was really all motivated by that. But just curious your thoughts on maybe F3 and the push to be better at home.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if I would have made the career change without talking to F3 guys. And, you know, I don't know if I would add enough drive to pursue looking for another career if it wasn't for the encouragement. And it's definitely helped. You know, we're going to church more. We're communicating better, my wife and I. I'm trying to be better every day with my kids, whether I'm playing or wrestling with my kids. It's definitely, our relationship has definitely benefited. Sometimes I probably would go too early in the morning, and then at nighttime I'm dead tired. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I've gotten that before where I like bounce
too tired
at 7:30 and it's like, dude, you can't not get the kids ready for bed. Like, you got to get the kids ready. You can't just fall asleep on the couch.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to keep going. It's like, but I got to get up in the morning at 2:30 to go run at the, you know, combine at 3:15. Yeah. So
what's the earliest you've been out there for a run? Just curious.
I have done some, maybe 2:45.
Yeah.
Maybe 2:45, 3. I know I've done a lot of 3:30s in between there. And then I'll get like anywhere from 6 to 10 miles in, maybe before a beat down, or before I have to go, you know, maybe the beat down starting at 5:15 and I'll try to get there at 3:30 and get 10 miles in or something. But I know when we started some of the training, me and backcountry for that marathon, we'd start at sometimes 3:34, but, we started that marathon at 2:59, if I recall.
Oh, wow.
I think it was 2:59 in the morning at Lake Cunningham. So I know I was up at like 1:45. That was just one event though, but yeah. It sure felt. Wow.
What's your relationship like with sleep? Are you sort of like a I'll sleep when I'm dead sort of mentality, or you try to get 6-7 hours of sleep a night, or?
I used to feel like 5 was good. Yeah. I really need 6 or 7 like anymore. I don't know if the last year's hit me pretty hard, but my job is not as demanding now. And so like physically. And so I feel like I have a little more gas left at the end of the night, like yeah. in the tank. And so I can still go off 5 or 6, but I'm way better. I have way more patience with my family, and I don't snap as quick if I have 7 or 8 hours of sleep.
Hmm. If I get less than 8, I feel sick. So,
no. So 5. I don't know, man. If I get more than 5, I feel tired all day long. I don't know what it is.
That's weird.
Anyway,
you've mentioned this a couple times, and I really want to hear your side of the story. So you know you switch jobs, and you're saying that you're having more opportunities to go to church and lean more into Christ and more into scriptures. Would you be willing to share your journey in the third F space with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up, I did grow up going to church every day every Sunday. We would go on some Wednesday nights. I grew up Lutheran in a small 100-person town village of Melmo, Nebraska.
Attaboy.
It was close. Yeah, I see the thumbs up there. The thumbs up. It was, you know, my grandparents went there, and we did vacation Bible school there. I feel like I was raised by 2 great parents. My mom's a wonderful woman. I had great grandparents, and they were always, you know, we were always praying before every single meal. I still try to do that every day now. I think that when I went off to college, my faith journey slipped away. I didn't go to church much. I wouldn't say I partied a lot, but I was probably just a normal college guy, you know? But I definitely didn't go, and I didn't pick up the Bible. I didn't even pursue him. I didn't even ask him to be in my life. And that's the great part is he's always been there. I discovered Christ again. I should say I allowed him back into my life. And later, I once was, after college, I was, started off having a job, after college. I got married, and that marriage ended up where I got divorced, and that brought me one of the greatest gifts ever, which is my son. So if you guys ever hear me talk about, I have 2 14-year-old boys. I have four sons, and I'm never prouder than I could never be more proud than my 4 kids. But my wife that I'm so blessed to have, that God put me put in my life. She also has a 14-year-old son. So we met when they were about 5 or 6, and they're only 3 months apart. Yeah. We have 2 little boys together, and I went through a really dark time after getting divorced. And that's where I really found that fitness piece again. Like I said, you know, your dad's recovering from alcoholism. He's had health journeys. I'm like, man, I got to be a better dad. I have to be a better dad and focus on what I can do for myself and him. And I feel like there were ample of opportunities to go out and do what a lot of people might do. And I think our minds can wander. Truly, I think our minds can wonder, what would a single divorced dad go do, right? And I decided to lean into Christ and started to pursue going to church, which I'm so thankful for, because it allowed me to meet my wife through church. And it's like I could have gone down on a road that was just really bad, you know, and had a bad negative mindset on it. And if it wasn't for my upbringing, it's like, man, sometimes you got to go through some really troubled times. I wouldn't have wished that on anybody, but I think that having gone through that made me stronger. I was so blessed to be able to have my faith, my family, that, you know, we started a long time ago, just hang with me, and I pass that on to my son. Sometimes I know it's hard with, I mean, it's hard sometimes as a teenager. They don't, you know, they have tough times too. So they're going through some things right now. I think like most teenagers do. I would say, you know, getting them to go to church is tough sometimes, but, I'm so blessed right now to have my wife and, our kids, be around Christ, and go to Sunday school. My wife was going to church, and she was also going to a Lutheran church as well when I started to go back to church here in Omaha. And, we just kind of had to decide, hey, which church should we like better? And we ended up getting married, at Lord of Life Lutheran Church over by Elkhorn. And, the fridge actually goes to Lord of Life. We have had great pastors there. Our younger boys, had a great connection there. Recently though, we did start going to another church, where we're trying to get our younger kids more involved. I think the younger you can start your kids, the younger you can start your kids' career with Christ is the better setup they'll be. That's the greatest gift you can give them, is their relationship with God.
Yeah.
My wife was definitely the advocate to get them to, another church that I think that they would flourish in. Yeah.
Heck yeah, man. It's so cool just to hear your journey. And I think, you know, when I think about guys in F3 and the third F, you know, it's at every workout, right? We pray at every workout, and we're, you know, a lot of COTs sort of have some sort of emphasis on faith in one way or another, but would be curious your thoughts as a group. How do we help guys that are maybe like searching or like kind of like your journey, right? Where your job had you maybe pulled away from the church, and then, you made a change, right, to support your Concentrica and your family. How do we support guys along the way, as they're going through that sort of journey?
I feel like this moment right now, like right now, God's telling me to tell you guys that, you know, what would He do for you? What would He say for you? He's going to support you. He's going to show you love. He's going to show you, everything that Christ did for us, which was love, compassion, kindness. We can do that to anybody in the gloom. And if they're struggling with, maybe it's an addiction or a mental battle, I think that, I just want to be there to answer questions that I would know how. I don't want to push any of my faith onto anybody. And I think that's the greatest part of F3, is I've met so many great people. And the church we go to now is just a non-denominational church. It's Stonebridge Christian Church. And God loves everybody. So I think that you can just show your love in the gloom to any single man that shows up. He might not know his faith journey right now, but what would Christ do for you? Well, He's going to show you love. He's going to show you compassion, forgiveness, kindness. Lord knows we need more of that. In this world, especially right now, you know, it's easy to judge, but I can judge. I judge with the best of them. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to admit that, but I know in my heart that it is so important to, there's a reason why I think every single guy shows up to F3. I truly think that for some odd reason or another, their higher power, has called them to go to that workout. And even though they might think that they're there for first F, well, the second and third F are going to stick to you. They might think that they're there because they don't like going to, you know, a counseling session or something, you know, and maybe they just don't know what that is. I don't know. I recently started talking to a couple months ago. I haven't for a little bit now, but I started talking to a therapist just to try to be more emotional, controlling my emotions a little bit. And I think that we can all do that for each other in the gloom, just by being supportive. Mm. And, I think that's how I would be there to listen. And then I think that if they aren't talkative and they don't, and you don't know what their faith base is, well, that's where I'm going to find them. I'm going to find them in the gloom, because I'm going to be the guy who wants to go and, yeah, that guy doesn't talk much. That guy doesn't talk much. I'm gonna do the workout with him at whatever pace that is. I'm gonna do that with him and just like, hey, what's your favorite sports team? You know, what's your, you know, what do you do for work? And I'll pry the, even if it's one simple sentence out of them, I'll pry it out of them, and then I'll get their number, and I might pick at them. I don't want to harass them or hound them, but you want them to come back, right? But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's so cool, and I love that, right? Just be an example, you know, of the gifts that we've received, right? Give those back. And I think, you know, F3, we're in this unique spot where the group itself, right, we don't take a stance on anything, right? We're this place where guys from all different races and creeds and backgrounds and belief systems can come together and share what they believe. And even if we disagree, at the end of the day, we can still hang out and work out and learn from each other. And, you know, there aren't too many other places like that in the world. And social media is definitely not that place, you know? So I love that. Just calling that out, right. It's just about getting to know people and then loving them for who they are, where they're at. So that's great insight.
Hey, Gloom listeners, it's the Plague. Question for you. Are you ready to perform at your peak? Well, our man P-Soup and the Apex Men's Clinic is here to help you achieve optimal health. Whether it's managing general health concerns, recovering from injuries, or optimizing your hormones, they have you covered. Their comprehensive services include testosterone replacement therapy, cutting-edge treatments, and personalized care plans tailored just for you. At Apex Men's Clinic, you're not just another number. Their expert team is dedicated to helping you feel your best. Visit apexmensclinic.com today to schedule a free consultation. At Apex Men's Clinic, it's men's health done right.
I would be curious, you know, as you think about, you made this little comment, so I'll see if you'll go deeper, but tell us about your journey with pursuing, counseling and that sort of thing. Is there anything in that space that you'd be willing to share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, in college, I went through a dark time, when I was away from my faith, and I got homesick, and I started pursuing, a counselor as well there. So I have been around them before, and, no matter what, how do I want to word this? No matter what anybody tells you about mental health and, hey, you need to die, you don't need help. No, actually everybody in this world needs help is what I would tell them. Every single man or woman needs help in this world. And if they don't think they need help, whether it's talking about their feelings, to regulate their emotions, maybe it's their anger. I've had COTs where I have literally, I've cried because I've gotten sad and emotional when you yell at your kids and you're like, man, why did you do that? Like, it doesn't settle well with you, or you get into an argument with maybe your M or your, you know, and it just doesn't settle right. It's like, why can't I be better? Mm-hmm. Like, how can I regulate my, outbursts? Or, you know, maybe there is something in your past that has caused you to, it's no different than maybe, you know, somebody who is struggling with an addiction. Well, I think addictions can happen. Addictions can happen if you're mentally not sound. Yeah. And that is something that we can all, you know, we all need to check that with ourselves. And it takes, I think, a really strong person to admit that. I'm not saying by any means I'm strong. I'm just saying I would tell you that I need more help than probably most. There's a lot of guys I feel like in the gloom that, man, there's like, man, I, that guy, he's not just a hammer, but he has his stuff together. And right now I'm doing a really good job not swearing on this podcast.
yeah.
He has his, you know what, together. And it's like, but if you get to know that person, or if you actually ask a hard question when they're not expecting it, you might be surprised on the answer. And I'm here to tell you that, like, those early morning runs, I've been able to share with guys my struggles, and my struggles are, you know, they're real with everybody. I mean, I live in the thought of, like, what are my kids going to think if I swear all the time? Or what are my kids going to say if you, like, how can you forgive yourself for having a blow up in the house? And when I say blow up, it's like, you know, the cat could literally just throw up, and it's like, or the dog poops on the floor, and it's like, that could just make you frustrated. It's like, I just need to be able to control your emotions better.
Yeah.
I love it.
Do you feel like the guys in the gloom they provide a perspective, right? Just an outside different perspective, maybe some additional tools for you to help kind of deal with that. And then seeing a therapist is just another tool in the wheelhouse for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that if you're open to seeing a therapist, or if you're just open to being vulnerable in the gloom, that alone will show leaps and bounds with somebody. That alone, because I think that we all can put on a mask sometimes, and
sure,
a stone wall. And I think that it's easy to be tough on the outside, or that guy's in great shape, or he has a great career, or that person's, but you really gotta, I think you gotta be vulnerable and honest with yourselves. Are we living the best lives that we can? Can you be honest? Can you not just, I mean, I don't want to BS my way through life. And I think that F3 has allowed me to be better with that. I don't want to BS my way through life anymore. I want to be truly what I say I am. I want to think before I speak. I want to not, you know, just overreact. And I just want to lead a better example for my kids. And I struggle with that. And I openly admit that with everybody in the gloom, my struggles. And sometimes I talk about it, and I can probably just imagine what some guys might say, like, man, how can Bouncer struggle with this? It's like, how can he struggle? Like, why does he beat himself up all the time? It's like, I just want to be better. I mean,
yeah.
I love it. And I think that's a good point, right? And a little bit of a good segue into this idea of, like, leadership, right? Male, reinvigorating male community leadership. And how do we just sort of pursue, you know, our ideal selves, right, in this group together? And you really had this unique opportunity to lead a site that rotates around the whole region, right? So it's not the same spot every week, right? But it's also just once a month. And I think you've done it, you know, a couple months, you've done two of them, but talk us through kind of what it was like to take the flag at Halfway House, maybe some of the experiences, and then would love to hear about the succession planning and handing it off to Backcountry.
Yeah. It was great to be able to, it gave me the opportunity to go to all the different sectors and meet people, instead of being like my first 6-7 months just zoned into just Northwest Omaha. You know, I've been able to go to different areas of the city and meet new guys, and it's helped me grow, have more connections with people. I think that the Halfway House is a great opportunity to put it on the calendar. You know, it's going to happen. You can plan for it. I think that, site queues that have the weekly sites, it's like, yeah, you know, you got more stuff on your plate, but I think that with the Halfway House, it gives you the opportunity to, like, build up for a big event, you know? And like, you would probably agree, I don't want to speak for you, but it's like, you can plan for a really big event. You can plan a route. You can, almost plan an opportunity for a couple hours instead of just a 45-minute beatdown to entwine all three F's and whatever else you want to, you know, make that opportunity to be, and at the same time, push each other to be vulnerable, get to know a new guy. I think that just like a succession plan, I just took it and ran with it. And Cataracts is a great hymn. I think that I was just blessed to have the opportunity to have the time as the halfway house site hue for that time. But backcountry, he was the one who kind of inspired and motivated me to do that marathon, and that we did it together. And he was able to listen to me being vulnerable, and there's no other better person to hand that off to than somebody who wants to be, you know, there for other guys. Vulnerability, you know, his kindness, his generosity, is great. You know, he's a great guy. And I think the site will be, it's probably going to flourish and grow even more. You know, when I took it over for Cataracts, it's like, wow, it's hard to follow somebody, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, what am I supposed to do? I think we had a lot of good journeys. You know, we started to venture off into longer runs. People started doing 15 miles, 18 miles. We started incorporating rucking into more halfway houses. We started to incorporate a lot more distances and opportunities for fellowship, and just push each other. Kind of started with the Thankful Trot was the really, really large event that took place, where we had a merge and a convergence at the maze with the labyrinth, the coop, Iditarod, and the halfway house. Was just able to kind of connect with those site cues at the time, and we had a good variety of routes planned, and we even had FIA involved in 2.0s. and I know that we had over 83 packs during that time, not counting 2.0s and FIA as well. And that was just a really great event that I think F3 was able to show support to. And for those that are unfamiliar with what the Thankful Trot entails, it gives back to four local schools just to say thank you for us being able to do workouts and what we do every morning in the gloom on a lot of those school sites, whether it's a high school, an elementary school, and stuff like that. That was really important, and I want to thank Tater Tot helping me with that, along with all the site cues that also did convergences and joined up during that. We also did a half marathon Farva Murph that was really special. Farva has his own Murph that he's always done. So thank you to him for allowing us to be part of that at the end of the year, where you'd run 2 miles, you'd perform one set of a Murph, and then you'd run a mile, and then you'd perform another set of a Murph, and you'd do that for 13 miles. And there were so many great opportunities to jump in and out. You know, you could do as many sets as you want or get as many miles logged as you want. It was a great time for fellowship. So thank you to Farva for that as well. I want to say thank you to all the site cues that helped out lead a halfway house. For anybody who did queue as well, thank you. There were really a lot of routes. There were a lot of opportunities to get that fellowship in. And I appreciate all their help in getting routes planned. A shout out to Long Neck. Long Neck had the largest halfway house. 62 packs showed up in February at Cancer Survivor Park. And that was, we had a lot of people show up for every single halfway house, whether it was 5K, 10K, whatever it was, rucking. Long Neck really got the packs to rally around that one. And I just want to send a shout out to that. And everybody who's, like I said, queued and helped to make the halfway house special this last year was a testament to F3 and what we do, is I feel like F3 gives back to so many. So a big thank you to all those guys that helped us do that.
When you had a lot of guys that sort of is like their goal, right, was to run a half, you know, at some point throughout the year. So I love that, right? Because you had a lot of guys like we always have, right, with Halfway House, but just being able to celebrate those milestones for some guy, right, when they're looking back at their journey, they're like, wow, I've never ran a half before, and now I have, right? And you sort of give them that vehicle. So I think it's phenomenal. And I think one of the, just as I'm hearing you tell your story and think about the guys that lead, right, it's this theme of vulnerability, at least in our group, seems like that's how we know who the leaders are, right? The guys who know, like the only way you can have your stuff together is by knowing that you will never have your stuff together, right? Like, it's sort of like this.
I really don't feel like, yeah, I really feel every day like I don't have my stuff together at all. Yeah. I don't feel like I have ever.
Yeah.
Even when you're pursuing it, even so when cool. You feel good.
Well, I do think, you know, I just have to tell you, thank you for your leadership, for your story, for all of the times that you've listened to me and shared what's on your heart with me out in the gloom. And one of the things as we, you know, kind of wrap up that we'd like to just get from guys is sort of where you're at, you know, current state today, if we see you out there or just, you know, in our own prayer time, what should we be sort of praying for or encouraging you on?
I think, if you ever see me, out in the gloom, I'll probably, to be honest, I always go around every time and I fist bump everybody. I just will always, chances are I'll get to you first just because I'm going to fist bump everybody, but even if I have to go. But feel free to reach out. Cause I do miss that, that male bonding. I really do. I miss that positive male interactions. You know, whether it's an afternoon jog or maybe I encourage people to get up even earlier and meet me out there in the morning, just to, I'll walk a track with somebody. Prayers for my family, prayers for my wife, prayers for my kids, just like health. I think that I go to bed every night praying that everybody I know has, they can make it up in the morning. They're healthy, they're happy. They're ready to go to school, ready to go to their job, ready to be the great, you know, woman God wants them to be, the great man they want them to be. Your kids, I just pray for everybody. So please pray for me just to continue to live a honest life. You know, I want to live an honest life and, you know, just a generous life. I feel like F3 has been so generous to me. So I just wanted to give that back to everybody. And I feel like I might've taken that journey with the Halfway House and try to be generous to others, but, yeah, just prayers for hope and faith.
Heck yeah. And it sounds like you're open. If somebody wants to run super early, they just need to text you and get it scheduled, right?
Yeah, that's all they have to do.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I might need your help I need somebody to do a test run of the route out here for the 25th. So I'll,
and we do live fairly close to each other. So, yeah. I have some corn seed fields down by the Waterloo Road down there.
So it could be a write off, like a work run type of thing.
Yeah. I could clock out for lunch and go log a couple miles and awesome. I get paid for the lunch. So
yeah. Oh man. I love it. Well, let's do we'll do a little name-a-rama here to wrap us up. I'll start let's us off. It. Brandon Fleehardy, 38, the plague.
John Woodworth, 32, Pony Express.
Pony. Hey.
Pony. Hey. I'm Kyle Smith, 36, Bouncer.
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 And what, do we have a call sign? Did we say like boing or?
So Farva started going boing.
Okay.
It hasn't got a lot of attraction yet, but it's getting there. And then some people like Cheap Seats have said, get out of here.
Oh, like a bouncer.
Yeah, you know, bouncer. Yeah. Again, I'm not a bouncer though. So yeah.
Well, now that everybody will know the story. So now the boing will catch on. So
yeah, you bet.
We can only hope. Thanks, awesome. Man.
I'll support it.
Yeah.
Appreciate your time.
Have a good day. See ya.